You're listening to Radio MD. What's good and good for you? Why, Family Food Kitchen, of course. Here they are, Ellen Briggs and Carolina Jantek.
As you know, when you go to the store and buy something, and so do I, and so does everybody else, you'll find more of that product and like products. It's an impetus to develop that product line. And so I'm interested in knowing if Americans are really demanding healthier food or not. Is this just a smokescreen, or is it really happening in the natural food industry? And the person who knows the answer to this is our guest, Joe Dubrow, who is author of Natural Profits. Joe, I want to start by using Velveeta, which is not my favorite, but when it came into the market, it sold really well and opened the door for hundreds of like products that, for me, are not real cheese. That would be my perception anyway. But then the natural foods market started to infiltrate the U.S., and we began to see these stores popping up to the point where the alternatives were there clearly, but then they began to show up in the supermarkets as well. So I'm wondering, are we really seeing a strong trend by America in that they're demanding healthier foods these days?
Well, the short answer is yes, but let's put some context behind that. So when you talk about the Velveeta story, that was actually an early product in 20th century food pantries. I think it was probably introduced in the 20s or 30s. Certainly it was there by the 1930s. But it really was the herald of an era in which a lot of foods were being produced in the lab. So for all these centuries before that, food had been natural and organic. We didn't call it that. We didn't have laws to support that, but everything was pretty much as Mother Nature had intended it. And then in the middle of the 20th century, all of these new developments are made in the military and in the laboratories, and they eventually transfer into the kitchen. And so you've got Wonder Bread and Velveeta and Lean Cuisine and Snack Wells and Mounds Bars and Shake and Bake and Cheese Whiz and on and on and on. And we all grew up with these things. And not to denigrate them, because at the time they were miraculous. You know, they saved a tremendous amount of labor and they tasted a lot better than most other products that were out there. It's just that there weren't food labeling laws, so you didn't really know what was in them, and there wasn't a consciousness among Americans to care too much what was in them. So then in the baby boom era, you had this generation born of people who kind of grew up with that in their kitchens and their pantries, but as they came of age, they started to reject everything about big business and big food and government, and they became the flower children of the 60s, and they were really the ones who started this pendulum swinging back in the other direction, so that, you know, here, all these years later now, Velveeta is still out there, of course, but now you've got this incredible selection of raw milk cheeses and artisanal cheeses, and of course that's just one category. So with that context in mind, yes, I do think that there's been a concerted movement of Americans and of consumers worldwide back toward healthier eating, cleaner products, and even though at this point only about 5% of the dollars spent on food in the United States are on natural and organic, it's accelerating. And you need go no further than the convenience store at your local gas station, because I guarantee you that they've got natural and organic foods in there nowadays, and that is a revolution.
Well, that's a great point you made, though, with that 5%. So that makes me kind of have that, you know, that question of the egg or the chicken, who comes first? So are we, if it's only 5%, is it people demanding more natural foods, or are there some other food shopping influencers out there that are gearing us towards making this move back to natural?
That's a great question. I think that there probably are influences coming from multiple sources right now. So certainly an awareness out there of food safety, of the links between health and nutrition and food, which seem so obvious to us. You know, we're these enlightened 21st century people. they weren't very obvious for the longest time. So that certainly has been important. And the medical community, the registered dietitians, people in the fitness industry, you know, all of those, I think, are really starting to exert their influence on the consumer to say, it's not enough to exercise. It's not enough to live well. You've got to support that with a healthy diet as well.
You know, then, 5%. You know, oh, I'm sorry. You weren't finished. Go ahead.
No, I just was going to say, I think, you know, from the other side, then the advent of the internet, social media, email has created this, this democracy of informed citizens out there who are very eager to share information. And, you know, sometimes we call them mommy bloggers. Sometimes they're just digital entrepreneurs, but certainly they have been extremely influential too in disseminating information and helping, I think, to push the food manufacturers and push the food retailers in directions that you and I probably at least consider to be better ones.
You know, I was going to say that 5% seem sort of sadly low to me. But and I so agree that the influencers are coming through, mom demanding it. But I'm wondering if price is the reason why it's not going faster than, you know, moving up from 5 to 10 to 15%.
Yeah. Well, 5% is sadly low in some respect, but it also gives you a sense for just how massive the food industry is. And I think the projections that I've seen say that we should be at 10, 11% by the end of this decade. So that's a pretty significant jump. Yeah, you know, I think that there are a lot of different forces out there that that have influenced it, including price. But just as much as that is supply, because the last number that I saw was that only 4.5% of the farmland in the United States is certified organic. And it obviously takes a tremendous commitment and money and effort to convert back from chemical farming to organic farming. And it's very hard in an era in which 90% of the corn, 91% of the soybeans and sugar beets are made with GMO crops, GMO seeds, which can't be organic. So there are definite limitations on the supply side, but even that I think is growing and expanding. And so, I wouldn't be too disconsolate over the 5% number. Certainly you go to Expo West or you go into Whole Foods or you go into your local Safeway and everywhere there are signs that the natural and organic foods industry is continuing to spread.
Yeah, you're right. I recently heard on the news, Whole Foods is coming out with a cheaper version of Whole Foods, I guess similar to Trader Joe's. So obviously, you know, there's going to be more solutions for families out there on the limited budget to also be looking. And, you know, Walmart recently started selling organic foods as well. So, you know, you being so educated in the food industry and the natural food industry, give us really quickly your prediction of, is this tide really going to turn? Do you feel, is it going to take 5 or 50 years for us all to be eating healthier as a as an American nation?
Oh, I don't think we'll all get to that point. But I do think that we're going to continue to see this strong double-digit growth, so that number that's 5% now will be 10% by the end of the decade. It'll probably double again in our lifetimes. And that's very significant. It's very significant.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And certainly I think that's true with the supply side too. Farming is a hard business and there's not a lot of small farms left out there, but we certainly would like to see more of these guys convert
back.
That's
true. Sounds like we need to inspire our children to become more farmers than lawyers. So, Jill Dobro, thank you so much for being with us. I want everybody to look for more information on naturalprofits.com. That's where you find his book. And from us, remember, you can always listen to us on Radio MD and stay well.